all the many ways in which you bless our lives. For food on tables, for a roof over our heads, for transportation to get us to work and to school, to church, to the homes of friends and families, for people with whom we can share life, and people with whom we can share faith, for the ability to express ourselves freely in response to your goodness, that we might help shine a little light in this world. This morning as we worship, we also hold in our hearts those who are sick and those who are suffering, those who are in need of a little touch of compassion and kindness. And we pray, come, Lord Jesus, come into our hearts and our homes. May we welcome your reign in our lives, that all that we are and all that we say and all that we do might be a reflection of what we have experienced as we seek to wrap our lives around your life, Jesus. We remember the words that you taught us to pray, and we share in them once again, that we might truly live them. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever.
Join us in singing hymn 605, Wash, O God, our sons and daughters.
Wash, O God, our sons and daughters, where your cleansing waters flow. Number them among your people, just as Christ was long ago. Leave them garments bright and sparkling, compass them with love. Spirit, holy love and heart's delight. We who bring them long for nurture, by your milk may we be fed. Let us join your feast, partaking cup of blessing, living bread. God, renew.
Sign of our desire to participate in the work that God wants to do in and through us and through the church. Each week we come with tithes and offerings as we are able so that we might share in that work through our gifts and through our resources. Some of you do that by placing gifts in the offering plates. Some of you do that by making a commitment online. Some of you do that by using the QR code that is in the bulletin each week. all of these are ways in which we can participate together so that God can do what God wants to do to us as the church. Would you pray with me over today's gifts? God, for each gift that is offered up today, we give thanks, for it is a sign of faith and a sign of trusting in you, that you might take what we offer and use it in ways that bring hope and transformation to the lives of others. So take these gifts now. Use them for your purposes. In Christ's name we pray.
Each and every one of you here had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I know in our household, as we gathered around our table, we were especially grateful this year to have Aaron home with us from Naval Training for just a few days. Over the last week and this week, around Thanksgiving, we've been exploring the sacraments in our worship time. And so last week, Steve preached on the Eucharist, which is the sacred meal that we gather together around the Lord's table as often as we are able to give thanks. And then this week, I have the privilege of being able to share with you on our sacraments of baptism. And I know that for many of you, this is a very familiar topic. That's because baptism has been a central part of the Christian journey ever since its very beginning. In fact, so much so that Mark's gospel begins with John baptizing people in the wilderness, preparing them for Jesus' coming ministry. And so the way he tells that story begins in chapter 1, verse 4. He tells it this way: John the Baptist was in the wilderness calling for people to be baptized to show that they were changing their hearts and lives and wanted God to forgive their sins. Everyone in Judea, and all the people of Jerusalem went out to the Jordan River and were being baptized by John as they confessed their sins. John wore clothes made of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He announced, "One stronger than I am is coming after me. I'm not even worthy to bend over and loosen the strap of his sandals. I baptize you with water, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The word of God for us, the people of God, and God's people say, thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord of new beginnings, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, so that as the scripture is read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy that you have to speak to us today. So as Methodists, there is much that we believe is going on in the waters of baptism, and yet we don't have these beliefs all to ourselves. We didn't create them in a vacuum. In fact, they go back to the early days of the church. And the idea of baptism, although it is obviously a Christian theme and has been a part of our journey since the beginning, it actually didn't begin with Christianity. It began before that in Judaism with something called the mikvah. A mikvah is understood to be a holy ceremonial cleansing, a bath of sorts. Beginning in Leviticus and throughout the Old Testament, mikvahs are prescribed as a way of preparing oneself to be present with the Lord, to present oneself to the Lord. It's also a way of serving as a reminder of God's miraculous freedom that he brought to Israel as they crossed through the Red Sea, escaping slavery and going into freedom. And then again, as God parted the waters of the Jordan River, as they exited the wilderness where they had traveled for 40 years and entered into the Promised Land. And so, the baptisms that John was offering were significant because they served as a sign, a call to the Jewish people to prepare themselves for the coming of the Messiah, to prepare themselves to be in the presence of God, and to do so by cleansing themselves and asking for forgiveness. John was calling literally for people to be baptized to show that they were changing their hearts and their lives and really sought after God's forgiveness. The baptism that John offered was a holy bath of sorts. It was a mikvah, the baptism that Christ offers us and that he knew Christ would bring to us was so much more than a holy bath. It was of water and the Spirit, and it was meant to literally transform our lives, which is precisely why the early church took baptism so seriously. By the end of the first century, most baptisms were only happening once a year on Easter Sunday. And people would spend 3 years in what was called catechesis, preparing for that day. 3 years of classes similar to our confirmation classes and our new members classes, where they were studying scripture and learning about the faith. It's just a whole lot more intense back then. But when they finished that final year, as the church was preparing to go into Lent, those that were getting ready to graduate from catechesis were asked, "Do you feel ready to be baptized? Do you want to be baptized?" And if they said yes, if they raised their hand, then they went through a special process during Lent, beginning with the fact that they did not bathe, for 40 days. And they spent time fasting and praying. Can you imagine going 40 days without a bath? You would stink coming, you would stink going, and the dirt, it gets insanely itchy when you don't bathe. And so these people who were preparing for baptism often had sores on their skin or worse. It all captured the idea that Jude wrote about of our sin stinking to the high heavens. And so by the time Easter finally came, and they were able to enter into those baptismal waters, it was so much more than just a bath. It was a source of healing and renewal and regeneration on every level. And when that day came, they loved imagery, so they would go to the catacombs, which is where most people were buried at that time. And many of the catacombs had pools of fresh water in them for ceremonial cleansing. So they would go into the catacombs in the dark before the sun came up on Easter morning. And they would go in just themselves and the priest. And they did this to capture what Paul wrote about in Romans in chapter 6. It says, "Don't you know that all who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried together with him through baptism into his death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too can walk in newness of life." So not only were the baptized dying and rising with Christ, forgiven and cleansed in every possible way, spiritually and physically that day, they were coming up out of those baptismal waters in new creation. They were being reborn. That's how they understood it. And that concept came directly from Jesus' teachings himself. When Nicodemus asked Jesus, "What does it take to be a part of the kingdom of God?" And he responds in John's gospel, "I assure you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, it's not possible to enter God's kingdom. Whatever is born of flesh is flesh. Whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit." Don't be surprised that I said to you, you must be born anew. Now, as I said earlier, and as you can probably tell at this point, the early church loved to have these tangible experiences that mirrored what was happening spiritually. And so, just as we bring nothing into this world when we are born, and we take nothing with us when we go, those that were being baptized took nothing with them into the baptismal pools, which means it was the priest, and yep, as you probably guessed it, them naked. In they went. Now granted, it was dark, and the only person with them was the priest, but I, for one, I'm pretty excited as a pastor that we no longer require this. Don't get me wrong, I love y'all and all, but I really wouldn't want to go into a catacomb in the dark with you having stunk up 45 days worth of dirt on you to baptize you naked. I wouldn't. I love you, but yeah, no. We have stopped doing that because the church has come to understand that what happens in that baptismal water isn't about what we're doing at all. It's entirely about what God is doing in us and through us that makes baptism so transformational. But getting back to the early church, once they were in the waters with the priest, they would be fully immersed in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we still use those same words today. They come from Matthew chapter 28, the very last few verses we often refer to as the Great Commission. And when they would come up out of those baptismal waters, they were given brand new white clothes, usually a robe or a tunic that they would put on. And that represented the new life that they were taking on in Christ. Paul writes about that in Galatians chapter 3. He says, "As many of you that were baptized into Christ have clothe yourself with Christ. There are a few other key things that the early church believed was happening in those baptismal waters. One of those being that as the priest laid hands on that person in the waters, that the Holy Spirit was poured out on them and in them, taking up residency in their very being, just like God did in the tabernacle when the Israelites journeyed through the wilderness. And as the Holy Spirit took up residency, the Holy Spirit was gifting them to serve both the church and the world in a unique way, in a way that only they could fulfill. And then, as they came up out of those waters with their new clothes on, they were welcomed into the body of Christ, into the church. In fact, as the people being baptized were in the catacomb with the priest, the whole congregation was outside the catacomb singing God's praise and praying for them. And they were just waiting for that moment when they saw the white clothes coming, in which they would respond with words of affirmation and celebration, welcoming these folks into the church and remembering their own baptisms and reaffirming their commitment to live into their baptisms. We still do that today. Whenever we baptize someone, we welcome them with words of affirmation and celebration, promising to support them as they grow in their faith, especially when we baptize infants. All the same things are happening. It's complete, but they have no idea what's happening. And we know that. But we vow as a church to help support them in growing up in their faith so they can claim it for themselves. And in doing so, we recommit ourselves to living this faith that we claim. In preparation for today's message, I asked Carmen to look up how many baptisms we have recorded at Trinity since its inception. Anyone care to guess how many? They weren't participatory in the last one either. It wasn't rhetorical. You were meant to throw a number out there. 1,250. I was surprised it was a round number, but that's what we have recorded on the book since Trinity's inception. And one of those most recent baptisms was for a gentleman named Alex Ashodian. Now, he came to our church for the very first time in his entire life to enter a church and come to a worship service this past summer. And since the morning that he came that Sunday until October 10th, he did not miss a single Sunday worship or Wednesday worship. He showed up to every Bible study he could find during the week that he could get to. He was participating in my holy yoga and even helped lead my holy yoga because he's a certified instructor. And he took a disciples path. That's our new membership class. And as that class concluded, not only was Alex super excited and couldn't wait to become a member of Trinity, he was just on pins and needles excited, could not wait for the day that he would be baptized. And we talked through the options. For Methodists, you can be immersed, we can pour water on you, or we can sprinkle water on you. That's what we normally do when we're baptizing here. We put water on the forehead. Because it's God's work, from our perspective, it doesn't matter how much water is on you. It's God's work that's happening, and so any amount of water works. He chose, after some prayerful time, to be poured on. And he didn't want to be poured on just once. He wanted to be poured on three times, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so we had decided, in light of pouring, which is hard to do in this setting, we would do his baptism on October 10th, after the end of the 6:35 worship service. We would go out into the grass area in front of the chapel, where I could fully pour on him, and it would go right into the grass. It would be a beautiful thing. Only I'm not sure if you remember, but that was the same night, it turns out, that Hurricane Michael decided to sweep through Florida. And he did not want to postpone his baptism. Turns out for us, it was a rather mild event here, so we decided not to cancel worship that night. However, we did rethink the idea of being out in the grass with the potential of rain and wind and everything else. So he got a children's pool, so that I could pour all that water on him on the covered porch and not get it on everybody else who was standing there, which made perfect sense. I mean, we're being reborn. Why not? So as we were doing all of that, there's a picture here of him responding to the questions, the historical questions of our faith. He's kneeling there in the pool. And then you can see the next picture where I'm pouring the water over him. Oh, it was so cool. Just flooding over his entire head through his body. And then you see the next slide where you can't see much of the congregation, but you can see me there with my hand on him. I had prayed over him for the Holy Spirit to be poured out on him. And the congregation is responding to him with our words and affirmation and celebration. It was an awesome night. Having spent his whole life never encountering the love and grace of God through Jesus Christ, you could literally see the joy in him glowing through his face, around his. He was just on fire for God in every possible good way. And as that joy was exuding from his person, from his being, all of us were reminded of the miracle of God's saving love and grace, not just for Alex, but for each and every one of us. And then as I stood there pouring water over him, and that's the first time I've done that, I couldn't help but think about the ways that God's love and grace are poured out on each of us, not just in our baptisms, but each and every day. There's God's grace that pursues us before we even know we need to respond to God's grace. We call that prevenient grace in Methodism. And there's also the cleansing and the forgiving and the justifying grace that God is constantly lavishing upon us. As we celebrated Alex's baptism that night, there was a palpable sense of the Holy Spirit reminding us all that God is so good and we are so loved, unconditionally loved. And we remembered our own baptism. I don't think anybody left that night without remembering and being thankful. Which brings me to an important point. As Methodists, we believe that our baptisms are a one-time event, meaning that it really is a work of God's grace in us and for us. So no matter how far we might stray from our baptismal identity, however much we might get wrong, our baptism is still whole and complete from the moment it occurs. God gets it right the first time. We sometimes don't get it so right, and so we have an opportunity as often as we want to or need to remember our baptism. And I know that many of you were baptized as a child, and if I say remember your baptism and you try to think about that literally, and you're thinking, I can't remember back to an infant, and even if I did from an infant's perspective, it might look something like the meme that Marianne Boyle sent me this week when she knew I was preaching on baptism. So today at church, a guy in a suit tried to drown me, and I kid you not, my family just stood there taking pictures. Yeah, thanks, Marion. To remember our baptisms has nothing to do at all with being able to recall the details of the event per se. It's about remembering what our baptisms mean, what they meant then and what they continue to mean today. And I don't know about you, but there are plenty of days in my life, in my walk with God, where I need to be reminded of who I am in Christ. I need to remember that I have died to sin and risen with Christ, cleansed and forgiven, that I have been born a new creation, that the Holy Spirit really has been poured out on me, whether I feel like it or not. The Holy Spirit lives within me. And the Holy Spirit empowers me and gifts me to be able to serve the church and the world in ways that only I can. And what's more, when I feel least worthy, or sometimes least welcome in the body of Christ in the church. Remembering my baptism reminds me that I have a place in the body of Christ, in the church, not because of who I am, but because of who Christ is and what God has done for us. And that's not just true for me. It's true for you as well. Every time we baptize someone, we get to remember all of these things more. But the truth is, we don't have to wait for those holy moments within the sacred life of our community. As often as we bathe, it can be more than a bath. It can be a sacred opportunity to encounter God's presence and remember who we are. We are children of the Most High Living God, created in His image and loved. Oh, how are we loved? And we are created to mirror that love and grace in the world. So here's another truth to all of us. While baptism is all about what God does, we do have a role to play. We are called to live into our baptism, to respond to God's grace in ways that allow God to continuously renew and transform us from the inside out so that the world around us can be transformed as well. Based on the state of our world and the church universal, I would say that we all, and when I say all, I mean we all, could stand to remember our baptisms and live into them with greater and greater clarity. Think about it. As we head into Advent, how many people like Alex will we encounter every single day in our ordinary lives that don't have any clue that God loves them or God's grace really is the most amazing thing they can ever encounter? Advent is meant to be a time of preparation. As we ready our hearts and our homes to welcome Christ, my challenge to you this Advent is to remember your baptism each and every day, and to do so in ways that embody the light of Christ in the world, so that you can go out and bring the hope and the peace and the joy and the love that Christ came to share with each of us. This week, as you leave, you'll have an opportunity to take what I'm calling a bath or shower tag. And you can take as many as you need for your household. It says, Lord, as I enter into the water to bathe, I remember my baptism, that having died and risen with Christ, I have been reborn as a new creation, filled with your Holy Spirit, welcomed into your church, and gifted to serve. Renew my soul so that I might live as your child today and honor you. There are also four stations in the back, four small tables with small bowls of water that you can use to dip your fingers into as you leave today. To remember your baptism, if you want to, you can touch the water to your forehead. You can also make the sign of the cross on your forehead, or you can adopt an ancient tradition the Catholics still use of the cruciform. You can cover your mind and your heart and all that you do in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. However you decide to remember your baptism, I hope and pray that you will do it. And in remembering, that you will continue to be transformed from the inside outward. If you have not ever been baptized and you would like to do so today, during communion, just come and see one of the pastors. We will gladly, gladly baptize you before the end of the service. Above all else, may you know and remember that you are a child of the living God, created to mirror God's goodness and grace in this world, and that you, in you, God is well pleased. May you choose during this Advent season and well beyond to remember your baptism each and every day. Steve is going to sing the prayer for his sermon. And as he does, I hope and pray that he will allow the Holy Spirit to wash over you from head to toe, inside and out, reminding you who you are, how much God loves you, and how amazing it is to walk in the newness of life that Christ offers.
Preacher pulled the boy up from the water. Hallelujahs rose from the banks. There was a new suit of clothes from his father and a prayer of thanks. The boy walked barefoot all the way home for dinner, and when they laughed at his muddy feet, he said, "I've been through the water and I've come out clean. Got new clothes to cover me, and you don't wear with his grandson of 7. He says, "Soon I'll be free from these pains." The boy asks if he's ever been to heaven. He says, "No, but I think I know the way, 'cause I've been through the water." Yeah.
come to the table and we give thanks. And we remember God, creator of heaven and earth. We remember that when nothing existed but chaos, the Spirit of God swept over the face of the waters. And out of nothing, God created life and created human beings and created us good. Poured out grace and love into us, and yet we turned away from God, and our love failed. But God's love never fails. God's love remains steadfast. In the fullness of time, God came in Jesus Christ, and as he began his ministry, after 40 days in the wilderness, he went to John to be baptized. And as John baptized Jesus, the Spirit descended on him like a dove, and he heard the voice of God saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And Jesus poured out love and grace on all that he met. He opened his arms to the unwelcomed. He shared a meal with the unworthy. He healed those who were sick and brokenhearted. And ultimately, he offered his very life out of love for us. On the night before he died, he gathered the disciples around him, and he wrapped a towel around his waist. And he walked to each disciple and washed their feet as a sign of his amazing love. And then he shared a meal with them, and he took a loaf of bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, and he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me, as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." And then he took the cup, and again he gave thanks to God. And he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so we come to this table and we offer ourselves as those who have been filled with the love and grace of God to go out into the world as God's witnesses of love and grace. We come and we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving. Let's pray together. Oh God, pour out your Holy Spirit on this gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. May they be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we can go out into the world as the body of Christ, redeemed by your precious blood. And by your Spirit, we pray that you would make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes again and we feast together at his heavenly banquet. In the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Let me invite those who are serving to come and look at the elements and go to their stations. In Trinity and in the United Methodist Church, the table is a place where everyone is welcomed, because Jesus welcomed all. We invite you to come if you seek to live a life following after Jesus Christ. So come to the station in front of your section. If you'll come out the left of your section and come to the pair in front of you, cup your hands to receive a piece of bread and then take that and dip it into the cup. Then you can return to your seats by the far, the other side. There also is gluten-free available, and if you just go to one of the far outside stations, we would be happy to get that and to serve you. And as Lenora said, if you have not been baptized and you desire to follow Christ and to commit your life to that, then we invite you to tell one of the pastors, and we would be happy to baptize you in the service today or at a future point if you desire. So please come and spend as much time at the kneeling benches before or after communion as you like. Everything's ready.
Strength of my soul, your love defends me, your love defends me, and when I feel like I'm all alone, your love defends me, your love defends me.
Let's pray together. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this holy meal, for the mystery of your love given to us that strengthens and nourishes us so that we can go out into the world and to share your love with others. Be with us and fill us with the peace and with the power of your Holy Spirit. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and sing our last song, Amazing Love, You Are My King. And let's use these words as a reminder and a recommitment to live into our baptism.
Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? I want it.
Friends, you were created by a God who loves you like nothing else in this world. And you were created to bear God's image in the world. As you go out today, take as many luggage tags as you need, the bath tags, hang them in your shower. Go out there to remember your baptisms and be thankful. Dip your fingers in the water back there. Remember who you are in Christ. And be filled with the joy, love, hope, and peace of Christ to go be all of those things.